Howard? Hi, there you are.
You there?
Yeah, there. Yeah, I got bounced off. I had to call back in.
What'd you do? You not pay your bill?
No, actually, it was what I was trying to do was you know, record this.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And I was still on from the previous call, and so I tried to drop that recording and add this recording in when I did.
Oh yeah. No worries.
More information than you needed. So,
that's all right. That's logistics of running your business. So what did you hear me say? Anything or
nothing? Hardly. Just.
Okay, so I was beginning with what's going on with me. So,
yeah.
you know the I let the deal with the other advisor go,
right.
And so that's a good and bad thing. You know, it's one of these things where you darn if you do not. I wasn't going to be happy if I let it go. I wasn't going to be happy if I did it. Right. Either way,
right.
I'd probably be questioning it. But so you know the story of the. Let me tell you this. So the good things, and if I've already told you this, I apologize, but good things that are happening, aside from that attorney giving me more assets, is I got, because I passed $1 million, I got into the Premier Advisor Directors Council.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool. I don't know exactly what that does for you, but, it, you know, you get on, go on one of these trips and stuff like that. And then I should, I haven't seen it yet, but I should get promoted from first vice president, which a lot of people always ask me, so what is a first vice president exactly? So I should get the senior vice president title, which actually does carry a little weight when people look at that, right?
Yep.
And
way to go.
What's that?
Way to go. Attaboy.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of helps a little bit. And then, so did I tell you about the private wealth financial advisor thing that they're putting together? We talked about that already or no?
No, go ahead.
So, you know, Morgan Stanley, UBS, and you guys with your, well, you guys, Merrill, with the private bank investment group.
Yep.
Do you know PBIG? Do you remember PBIG at Merrill? Was that something you were around for?
Of course.
Was yeah. Jim Hayes there when you were there?
Affirmative.
Okay. So he's at he's here now, right? You know that Jim Hayes is here
right.
now?
Yeah.
So he's starting this new private wealth financial advisor group. And so they recently brought together. Have you talked with Rob Reich at all about this?
No, I don't think.
Okay. So anyway, it's kind of a neat thing in that there's going to be, you know, a new exclusive group focusing on 5 million and up asset levels.
Yeah.
And so I competed to get the nomination. I think some guys are already nominated and he's one of those. But there were like 8 of us in the Mid-Atlantic that were getting nominated, and I was one of those that got nominated. So it's kind of neat.
Congratulations. Oh, that's really, that's an honor.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you're going to get assets, but, I mean, there's now an accreditation process that I have to go through, and, you know, you'll have a separate business card.
It's a lot more than you know, okay?
If you do it right,
and you get hooked into investment bankers,
right?
Who then refer business to you? Okay.
Right. Yes, and that's exactly the hook. Because when I was at UBS, I was in the corporate cash group. I think I told you about that. Did I tell you about that?
Yep.
I think I did, right?
Yeah.
So I wasn't in there for long before the world blew up. But that was the whole gig, was about getting hooked in with the bankers and getting, you know, deal referral and flow and stuff like that. So I'm hoping that the world doesn't blow up in the middle of this one either. But so that's kind of neat from that perspective. So the story of the pearls basically this dad gives his is trying to give his daughter this fake set of pearls, and she says, you know, she won't take it. You know, she's crying and begging for something else, crying and begging for something else, and she finally takes the string of plastic pearls, and he lets her hang with it for a couple of days. Then he gives her a real set. I say that because some of these good things that have happened or happening, I feel like almost as a confirmation that it was good that I didn't sign all that debt up with the advisor that I was looking at, because it would have meant $1.7 million for that advisor, plus the firm would have given me some more backing, but it's another million in debt for 14 years. So anyway, I feel a lot better about it, letting it go. And from here, just really getting recharged. I think I've talked to you since I was in Palm Beach. No, did not. So no. Went down to Palm Beach, and I ended up getting invited to a really cool event run by one of the largest yacht attorneys in the Palm Beach area. Actually, he's based in Fort Lauderdale, but he's probably number two yacht attorney in the world. Number one, obviously, is, well, not obviously, but they're both based in Fort Lauderdale. So I went there, and I was, this was on my family vacation. I was only there for an hour, and right off the bat, I ran into one of the guys I met in Monaco from something called Aero Yacht Services, and really good guy. And then also met and talked with the guy that is the executive director for the International Yacht Brokers Association, and he had some really. We talked for a while, and I said, look, I've been trying to prospect these people, and you know, I do have a significant client that's involved in this world, but I'm trying to leverage that. And he said, you need to call me and let's talk, and let me help you out, because I know where all the bodies are buried. So that was kind of cool. Just really good contacts from those people. So now I got to follow up on it. And what else? Oh, so you remember the ESOP initiative, right?
Right. I wrote that down. Yep.
Yep. So the ESOP guy that was very helpful to me in terms of networking and stuff like that, actually, I had a couple of now I'm doing something for him. I had badges available. My father had badges available for Saturday and Sunday for the Masters, and gave those to him.
Wonderful.
So hopefully you get some leverage out of that. I mean, you don't do that just to get that, but trying to beef up that relationship. So been kind of busy, and the rest of it is just pounding it out, grinding it out, and you know, trying to make the numbers.
It's really good. Yeah, that Masters is a big deal.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. It's kind of cool.
How do you get them? I mean, you have them through, did you say your father-in-law, or who was that?
So, no, actually, my dad, he was a career banker, and years and years ago, like, in 1960-ish, he was down in Augusta for some sort of training with a friend of his, and his buddy said I think it's his friend's boss was the treasurer at Augusta National, and my father asked this guy, he said, hey, can you get me tickets to the Masters? It wasn't nearly the tournament that it is now, but it's still a big deal. And he says, yeah, I'll put you on the list. And he says, oh, okay, cool, and I'll get you four tickets. I said, oh, great. And come to find out, the list was the permanent list. So he had four tickets, and then they cut them back, and he ended up with just two. And then not too long ago, well, maybe about 12 years ago, they said you can put your son or daughter in a raffle to try to get two back. And he put me in. And now I've got my own two. So he's got two and I've got two.
Oh, my God. That is huge power.
What's that?
I said, that is huge.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. So I haven't missed. And we usually go Thursday and Friday, and then I try to give him to. He usually uses them a lot of time. He sees it all four as is, basically. But that's fine. If I need him, I use him too. But so we go Thursday. So I'll be flying out Wednesday, be for the tournament Thursday, and half a day Friday. Come back Friday, and then someone else will use them Saturday and Sunday.
Really
so,
smart.
Yeah, so I try to, you know, leverage that. It's tricky, though. I always tell people, I say, look, don't feel like you owe me anything, and don't feel like, oh, my gosh, I'm obligated to go. You know, now I would ask you, you know, I just told this guy, Peter, his name's Peter Briggs, and he runs something called Shareholder Services. He's very connected in that community. I mean, I just met him, so it's a little bit dicey, but I said, you know, you were very kind to walk around and introduce me to all these people in that community, and I just, you know, we talked about it, and I just went, you know, end up having a couple, and just wanted, you know, kind of do something for you. He said, oh my God, and guess where he is right now? I had no idea where he'd be. He's going to be at the game tonight, the final four game. He's in Minneapolis right now. So I'm like, well, you're going to have a cool week, huh?
That's unbelievable.
He was like, oh my gosh, are you serious? Guess where I am now? I'm like, no, where are you? He said, shit.
All right, so here's what you need to do. You need to try and get,
okay.
I don't know if you can do this, but if you can, get some tickets to the tournament they just had, which is the Augusta National Women's Amateur Championship.
Okay.
All right. It was sold out. They had their first ever this past weekend.
I heard about
that,
yeah.
It was sold out immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that is, you know, red hot like the Masters, but
yeah.
it's going to get hot. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
if you
so
can
you try
get,
to get in on early, you mean?
Oh, God, yes. If you can get four tickets to that, that is going to be money in the bank in the future.
Mm.
It's only one day. They have a practice day, and then they have the regular day. And, it just hits all the heartstrings of all the women in the world. And so
right.
It's a big deal. Go for it if you got any kind of pull at all.
That's a good point.
The gal that won it is the gal that won it's a senior at Wake Forest. And
okay. Yeah,
I've got
you dialed in.
I got pretty good pull at Wake Forest, but they could not get tickets.
They couldn't get them for you. Even you, after you've done all you have for that school?
You know, I don't think they really tried that hard. I didn't put the arm on them.
Right, okay.
But I think it was just, you know, Jennifer Kupcho, who won it, was the Wake Forest gal, and I think she could only get tickets for her family. Now the women's team was there because they poured water all over her when she finished. Okay.
Okay.
But it's a big deal, and if you still have any leverage or your dad does or anything, get the ticket.
I'll work on that.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a tip.
Yeah, that's a great point. I've never been actually to the practice round because our tickets don't transfer to that. But
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you
I've
told
been
me about
both.
That.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's a fun day. Anyway,
haven't you played there?
Yeah, I did. 1985. Yeah.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah, I had. The bad thing is I had you know, probably five opportunities to play, but it was always a last minute deal, and it was always
right.
like, hey, this guy canceled,
yep.
you want to play? And I'd always have meetings and stuff I had to go to.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, I don't find out till last minute that I had these available, and you know, a lot of times, even if it's some, I mean, I've had many people say, "Gosh, I just can't do it," you know. But I won't
right.
know till last minute either. So that's the way it goes. Yeah.
Switching subjects a second before I forget. BlackRock has a money market fund that pays 2.3%.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you knew that or other people. You're a cash management guy, so you know.
Yeah, I mean, the BlackRock, you know, I mean, a lot of these funds are coming up a little bit, for sure.
Yeah.
2.3, that's pretty good.
It's a minimum of 100 grand, but it you know, it's one of those things that you're talking to people and,
I like
you
it.
Know.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah. Right.
I'm actually, this is not a money market fund, but Goldman has a what's called a dynamic municipal fund, which is kind of a short to medium duration fund and in muni space, and it's paying 3+ tax free.
Really?
Yeah, and so that's what I'm, in fact, that's, I did some of that with the attorney that shifted over $3.5 million to me, and I mean that paid me a little bit too.
Nice. That's
yeah.
Goldman Sachs, huh?
Yeah, the Goldman Sachs Dynamic Municipal Fund. But that BlackRock at 2.3. What, you have the ticker symbol by any chance?
I don't. They just told me about it today. I was on you know, another group, and they
that's a good asset collector.
Exactly. You know, it's just like I said to him, call my brother. You know, he's an idiot. He just, you know, he's got too much cash. He's always, you know, never takes advice. And he was in the business, you know, so he knows everything.
Your brother was? He's in the business?
Yeah, he spent 40 years in the business. So.
You said four or 40?
40.
Okay, yeah, he knows what he's doing. Yeah.
We kind of, you know, talk all the time about stocks and he's too emotional. You know, he gets out.
Gets attached to him.
Well, no, he gets to the point. You know, he's out of. You know, he buys Boeing right, and then he sells it, and then he buys it, and then he sells it, and then he, you know, Apple he sold, and then he doesn't get back in, and I make money by just, you know.
You're a holder.
I don't do anything. I just forget about it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I buy a few. I'm a collector. I just buy things, you know. I rarely sell anything.
That's good. That's smart.
Yeah. Well,
over the long haul, that usually works out well, unless you own bank stocks in 08. Over the long haul, that worked out pretty well.
Well, of course I did because I was in the business, right? But
yeah, of course, yeah.
But I also bought Amazon at 75, and I still have it.
Nice.
Yeah. So I still try, and I try and find that company that's going to be the next Amazon, and put enough in it that it's worthwhile, and then just wait and hope, you know.
Yep.
And it's you know, you get what you know. And then you do something like Garmin, you know, that was $40 and now it's 88 and you bought it for the dividend and you thought maybe it had a chance of doing a little better. And,
yeah.
You know, it's paying 5% dividend and now it's 88. So, I mean, shit. I mean, come on, right? That's unbelievable.
Right. I can you, what's not to like about that?
Right. And CoStar, of course, I never sold it. You've not done anything with that, have you?
I have researched the CEO. So let me ask you a question about that. So what would be your strategy for going after him? So just simply put, would you think I should – I was thinking about perhaps calling the head of HR and talking to them about an executive wealth planning engagement with them, or what do you think? What do you think? Or you could, I could certainly make individual cold calls into the business, or what do you think?
What would I do? I mean, what I did 1,000 years ago, you know,
I mean, you used
started,
to just show up and say, I'm your guy. I'm assigned to this firm.
I told you that. Right? And what I did was I went and said, hey, you know, you've been Teradyne's been assigned to me. So I'm your guy, you know, whatever you need.
Right.
You need any cash management, you need anything, I can connect you with the right people, investment banking, cash management, whatever you need.
Right.
I'm here to help you. And first of all, do some homework and make sure that, you know, find out what business your firm is doing with them already.
Of course. Yeah.
Okay. And see if there's anybody in your office that's already, you know, completely connected to them. And if not, then do that. And go get a tour. I went and knocked on the, what was his name? His name was Van Veen, who was the head of HR, corporate relations. He was in charge of corporate relations. You know, that
okay.
meant he was the guy that talked. He was the guy that got up and talked about the company and stuff. And so I got a tour of the, I asked for a tour. And so he gave me a tour of the whole place. And
nice.
Then he said, I need somebody, and he opened an account with me.
Nice.
Right there. And I ended up doing business with a bunch of guys there. And Teradyne's still a great company in Boston, you know, much bigger. But a great, and that's what I did with all the companies. You know, I just go see them. Get a tour,
yeah,
and then.
So CoStar itself actually has they've got pretty good chunk of money here with us, you know, close to, I mean, several hundred million. So I'm actually trying to get through our the officer. So the there's some, they have like a, you know, again, I'm not saying anything, I probably shouldn't, but they do have, they've got a relationship here. So I'm working, I've got calls into the basically the banking officer. I'm going to try to work from that angle.
Perfect.
So I haven't done nothing on them, but they've got,
right.
I mean, they've, you know, between me and the Fence Post, they've got $308 million here, so they're a client. So I'm trying to work that angle. Yeah.
Well, as you can tell by their stock price, I mean, they're doing something right. They're
oh, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, doing financial planning for them, for their executives, you know, you can do everything for them, right? Everything.
Yeah,
that
of course. Yeah.
You can do for them. So it's a gold mine. You know,
yeah.
I told you I had 19 guys working for Lilly in my office.
Yeah, 19 guys working for what?
For Eli Lilly. That worked.
Oh,
work
that's right. Lilly. That's right. Yeah.
That covered Eli Lilly. So, you know, you could have 20 guys in your office working for CoStar.
Good point. There definitely was a couple of guys at UBS that came over from Merrill that were working on CoStar. And I forgot, I see the guy's name. Do you know Donnie Smiles? Does that name ring a bell to you at all?
No. Uh-uh.
At UBS? Tom Wirtz?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No.
Anyway.
But go,
yeah, so,
go for it. I mean, I think it's great. You know, you can get any level of executives you want. You can go for the executive suite. You
yeah.
can go for the. I'd go for the cash management and the treasurer's department just because you're an expert on cash management.
Well, see, that's what we already do that for them. The firm, the bank does. I mean, they've got several hundred million here with us. So I'm going to try to go to that officer. I've got her, I'm looking at her right now, and call her up and say, hey, you know, tell me what's happening on the wealth side. How do we get dialed in? Why not? Right. I mean, that's the
right.
beauty,
and,
honestly, of working here is most companies and or people at some point, either through the existing firm or through a predecessor firm have some ties into this bank, right? Somehow, some way, and that could be good or bad. But so you
right.
can a lot of times you can find a way in that way. So I'm working on it.
Yeah. Have you talked to your banker?
Nope. I'm going to call her when I get off the phone with you. I'm going to call her. You reminded me. I printed it out recently, and then I was traveling last week, and obviously I'm going to be traveling Wednesday. But when we hang up, I'm calling Catherine Marcotte. I'm gonna call like right now. That's what I'm going to do. And it's literally right across the street from another account of mine in downtown D.C. Like, I mean, they're at 1331L. My client is at 1330L. It's right next door to it. So, you know, shit.
Here's the thing. Did you ever watch the show The Americans?
The Americans?
Yeah, it's a Netflix show called The Americans. It's about...
I have not. I haven't. Tell me about it.
Such a good show. It's about a couple that come here, set up shop, they have a travel agency, they end up having two kids, and they're Russian spies.
Nice.
And they live, guess where they live? They live in Washington, D.C., right?
Oh, gotta see that.
And they were instrumental in, you know, the Russians stole all the information about the atomic bombs. These are the guys that allegedly were instrumental in getting the information on the stealth bombers and the stealth technology. So it's a great story. It's fiction, but it's fabulous. And
okay. Nice.
The point is, would you be willing to do what they need to do in order to penetrate the companies that they penetrate?
Good point.
You know, they're willing to do anything. You know, kill
right.
people, sleep with people. But
yeah.
The thing that's so fascinating to me as a salesman is that there is just no challenge that is too much for them.
Yep.
They need to get into Lockheed Martin. They figure it out, and they
yeah.
find somebody that's vulnerable, and they figure out how they're going to do it. And my point is, treat CoStar like you're a Russian agent.
Nice. That's a great point. You know, it's a great point, and that is one thing. You know, you certainly don't want to emulate everything that is done in that old movie Wall Street, but I mean the point of that is, and there's so many great quotes in there I'm probably repeating myself, but there's so many great quotes in there, and the guy says at one point, you know, if you're not, forget about your education, you know, Wall Street or Harvard, this, you know, if you're not poor, smart, and hungry, I don't need you, right? And that's, I was telling my boss the other day, I said that I think that's the trick to our business, because you have to walk in here every day like you are poor, but you're still smart and hungry. You got to be poor, smart, and hungry. You got to mainly poor and hungry. You almost don't have to be smart either. You just have to be poor and hungry. But like you said, just willing to do whatever it takes to get in front of people.
What is to say we hire PhDs? Poor, hungry, and driven.
Okay, good. Well, perfect. Yeah, the same thing. Absolutely. I like it.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things that, you know, you can't, you just do what you need to do to get to what you need to do. You know, you just
yeah.
figure it out. We quit before we even start. We just, you know, embarrassing.
Yep.
I don't want to do that. That would be this or that would be that. We make up crap. And we
yep.
don't think of it as a mission to get in there and penetrate it and make it a life-changing event for our family, you know?
Yeah.
And it could be,
yeah.
right? It could be.
Yep.
It's kind of, wow. yeah. And it's just, you could
no,
make
I know
it
exactly what you mean.
You could make it luck, or you could make it, you make your own luck, right? In this case, you make your luck.
For sure. Totally. So hey, I got a question for you. So we've talked a lot about, you know, part of what I was going to do with this buying this FA's book is I was going to use that as leverage to ex-MSU present in court. Is that MSU? Okay. Not is that Mississippi State? Anyway, I was going to hire what's known as a financial consultant. And for sure, I almost need a combination COO of my business and a strategist, you know, portfolio strategist, right? I mean, I really need someone to be here while I'm out hunting. I like hunting. I don't want to be here administrating jack
right.
shit.
You need what we call an analyst.
Yeah, I need an analyst for sure.
Right.
So that's I'm gonna go full court on that. Even if it means me taking a step back in my personal income for a while.
Yep.
I think I gotta do it. And I think it'll pay in spades, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 months down the road. What do you think?
Well, it's just like hiring me, Howard. You know, does it make economical sense to pay me $8,500?
Yep.
To end up making $1 million in revenues. I mean, come on. It's a joke.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
It's a joke. It's a joke.
Yep.
It's leverage. Anything you can do to leverage yourself. Now, if you don't do anything different, then it's stupid, right?
Yes.
Then you waste the money. Right.
Yeah.
But if you do it right and you hire the right person who can be, you know, your right-hand person for the rest of your life, then it's just like a joke. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Are you kidding? You know, you'll do $3 million, and what is that percent of the three, you know, the incremental $2 million you bring in?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Nothing.
So speaking of that, there's a guy here, good guy. I'm not going to mention names, so I can just talk candidly about him. He's a guy here. He's a fiduciary, what's called a fiduciary specialist. He's on the bank side. He has a SEMA, which is good. So an analyst needs a SEMA, or excuse me, he needs a designation like that.
Sure.
He's technically on the bank side. He's been at UBS, and I think he's actually a manager at one point. So I don't know how old he is. He's probably mid-40s, maybe upper 40s.
Mm-hmm.
His energy's not phenomenal, but on the plus side, he knows everybody in the private bank. He's running portfolios right now, so he can absolutely do that. But so... And he's here, and, you know, I don't even know if I could afford him or if it worked, but what's your initial take on that? I kind of am inclined to bring on someone that's younger, that may be a little more PhD-like, and, you know, I can kind of shape and, so to speak, mold.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I agree with you. I didn't like the low-energy thing.
Right, exactly. Yep.
So I go for high energy, you know, needs training, needs, you know, good bones, but, you know, smart person, PhD, and poor, hungry, and driven, but doesn't really want to be a salesman, but wants to make money and loves the industry and wants to manage portfolios and da 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 da.
Okay. And I also want this person to kind of manage my assistant, too.
Yeah, they can be an office manager. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. All right. Yeah, we're on the same page. Yeah, I think that'd be kind of a game changer. Plus, and I want the person to be able to sit in front of clients, too, right? I mean, look, sound, and
sure.
Act the
part. They could grow into, you could grow into a regular partner for you. I mean, that's fine.
Right.
Cool. Yeah.
All right. And I did talk to the recent FA that's come on that's in the ESOP business, right? That came over from from Stiefel. So we're talking about, you know, doing some things, getting together. I mean, he's got to bring his book over and do all that stuff. You know, just got to kind of figure out how things lay there. And yeah, and I mean, that's a project, right? But it's worth doing, as the big business. Now, have you worked with the ESOP teams at UBS before? I can't remember. Did you do some work with them?
Or you just know? I mean, I'm familiar with ESOP teams, and you know, I didn't actually ever do an ESOP. You know, I never had a team that did one, and I just knew their work teams, and I thought it was a good business, and I liked it because it was, you know, it's part and parcel to, you know, an exit strategy for an owner. You know, I'm all putting together a mastermind group of people, CPA, attorney, business broker, and all those people that can provide exit strategies for business owners in Washington, and you be a part of that mastermind group.
Yeah.
And with ESOP knowledge, that's just another way of doing it, you know, instead of somebody buying your business, you're selling it to the employees. So it's a cool thing, you know. But the whole business, right? The whole business.
It is, yeah, for sure. And it could take – the tricky thing about it is you have to be careful devoting too much time to it, because if you don't win, you're coming away with zero. But it's got to be an avenue.
That's why I like the mastermind group, because you're going to get five different introductions to businesses that are going to be sold in your area.
Right.
And you'll be involved in all of them, right? You get the proceeds no matter what, and you just happen to offer the ESOP as a tool, right?
Yeah. Yep. Definitely. And I heard you mention business brokers. I actually do like that model. I've got to go back to it. I haven't done much with it recently, but you know, ironically, I ended up I was on a business broker prospecting initiative a while back, and I ended up with the business brokers themselves getting their DB planned, and now they're like they're my 10th largest client.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, the brokers themselves, the firm.
So you've got a center of influence there already.
Yeah, I've got to go back. I've got all these things that I need to go back and massage and farm.
All right, so Howard, here's your deal, okay? You sound a little bit ADD, like I am.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
A million ideas, all of them are great. Follow-up is the key, okay?
For sure.
So you have folders for all your clients, right? Tell me you
yes.
do. Okay.
Yes.
And you got them in the system, and they come up monthly, and you talk to them monthly, or you see them, or whatever it tells you to do, right?
You know, I do have about, I have to be honest, I've got about 15% left to go on them.
All right. Well, that basically you know what you're doing when it comes to 1242, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So finish that up, by the way.
Yep.
That's in order. Okay.
Yep.
But take each of these projects and make a folder for it and put it in your scheduler just as if it's a client.
Okay.
And it'll come up monthly. If it doesn't come up sooner, you know it's going to come up at least monthly.
Yeah.
And when the folder pops up, think of it as a piece of toast popping out of the toaster, pops up, and it's on your desk. There it is.
Yeah.
You gotta spend an hour working on that project.
Good point.
Every month. And so what you're going to do is, you're going to make the phone call. You're going to set the next appointment. You're going to move the project down the path.
Yep.
All right? So you make up one for CoStar, all right?
Yep.
That's a project. That's a niche that you're working on. So that comes up monthly. So you remember, you know, you're going to call your girlfriend here, but you wouldn't have done that if you and I hadn't talked, okay? So you can't depend on me.
That's right.
So you've got to have these projects pop up. So you make up, okay, CoStar, that's a project.
Yeah.
You got ESOPs, that's a project.
Yep.
You've got your yacht, Aero Yacht Services is a project.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You got Private Wealth Advisor as a project.
Yep.
The new
person. Financial consultant, hiring someone.
Right. You got to hire somebody. That's a project.
Yep.
So I know it takes a few minutes to make up each one of these folders, but make one up for each one of them.
Yeah.
And then you work. No. So me, right? I rented my brother a condominium, and now we're going to buy it, right? So the last thing on my list today is 513. No, that's not the right folder. Anyway, it's my brother's. I'm selling my house. That's a different folder. So I got one for my house.
You use the system yourself for your stuff too?
I use it for everything I do.
I love it. Yeah.
So whether I'm the finance chairman for the island school here. So I've got a folder for that. Right?
Yeah.
So I've got a folder for everything.
What do you use? You use Outlook for your schedule? Just pretty simple,
yeah.
Right, in your calendar?
I use Outlook,
yeah.
And here I am, you know, quasi-retired, and I've got all this crap going on. But,
that's
so
great, though.
You're going to teach your clients how to use this, because they're in the same boat. Everybody's a mess. All human beings are a mess.
Right, yeah.
And to get them organized and help them stay organized, you use all this stuff, right? And teach them how to do it. And everybody's the same. Everybody's got a little ADD in them now.
Oh, yeah.
So they're a mess.
Yep. For
right?
Sure, yeah.
So that's your coach.
That's very helpful.
Coach Tyler.
I appreciate it.
I run things. Yeah, it's a big help. I mean, I think what I do is important, just like what you do is important. I'm proud of you going to be this private banker thing. I think that's really excellent.
I think it's kind of cool. It's anything like that, because one problem in working at Wells Fargo Advisors is everybody's going to say, dude, I know 17 Wells Fargo advisors. I got one in my Rotary Club. I got one, at church. I know one's in my daughter's school. You know, I got all the Wells Fargo advisors I can deal with. But, you know, you pull out your little card and it says, you know, actually, I'm different. I'm a private wealth advisor. And they're like, oh, so what does that mean exactly? Well, right? And then you kind of blah, blah, blah. So that's what I like about it.
At a $5 million minimum, and you've got, and you're doing Supernova.
Nice.
So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Cool. Absolutely.
All right, my friend. You need to sign up for another year when we're done with this.
How much longer we got?
We got a couple. I think this was, I just put it away. Let's see.
Yeah, I need to call Cindy, I think. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I think this number, this is month 8. We only have month 9 left. And then we...
Okay.
Then we, so, yeah, don't... I mean, this is good for you.
It is, for sure. I agree.
And and we don't charge you $8,500, charge you less, whatever it is. But it's a
all
year.
Right, I'll talk with...
Once a month for 12 months, and it's... Look, we all need accountability. We all need a coach. And
oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You know, it's money in the bank.
And I get I keep access to all the videos and all that kind of stuff ongoing, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay,
absolutely.
Cool. Yeah, definitely. I'll do that. I'm on it. All right.
No,
thank you, sir.
Right. still working with you. I think we got a long way to go here.
Yeah, no, and I, you know, one thing I want to do is like I told my boss, I'm sitting in this chair anyway, right? Why not try to max the damn thing out? You know, I'd like to kind of put together a little bit of a master plan in terms of, you know who Grant Cardone is?
Yeah.
You do or you don't?
I do.
Yeah. So he's a growth guy, and it's a little bit different model, but I mean, I'm reading a book right now of his called Be Obsessed or Be Average. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, get crazy, out of balance with work life, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, the whole kind of the mantra is, if you're doing it, if you're going to be sitting in this chair anyway, why not go for it, right? So, I know you mentioned at one point, you know, really putting together a broad long-term business plan, you know, which would include staffing and, you know, true asset metrics, revenue metrics, all that stuff. That's kind of what I'd like to do. I've got a lot of other stuff to do before then, but that's attractive to me.
Well, it makes sense. Yeah, there was a guy that I remember, it was, I can't remember his name now, famous marathoner. He said, in order to win a marathon, you have to go a little berserk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to me, you know, the reason I was successful at what I did was because I was completely obsessed, okay? And
yeah.
It's okay, because I was obsessed about my family, and I was obsessed about my sports, and I was obsessed about my work. It's okay.
Yeah.
When I was there,
yeah.
I was engaged, you know? I was committed to winning, you know, and nothing else. Nothing would keep me from winning.
Absolutely.
And so you win. And so I won, you know, and that was the game. It was fun.
That's right.
But
you
do have to go a little berserk. You can't be just average. You have to be a little crazy. You have to do things that other people aren't willing to do, like walk into CoStar, you know, figure it out. Be a stealth.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So from now on, when I tell you you're an American, you're going to know what I mean.
Absolutely. Yes. I like it. I like it. You know, you do whatever it takes. Do you watch Billions at all? Do you watch that show?
No, I can't wait. I want to watch it. I'm going to binge watch it when it, I don't know what it's on.
It's like season four now. It's okay. I mean, it kind of is kind of, you know, a little bit weird. But, I mean, the one thing I can say about, you know, and I'm not saying I would insider trade, but the one thing I can say about insider trading but applying that, what you just said, look, if you're going to go crazy and trying to do stuff illegally to get information and use it, you know, you can make a pretty good chunk of money by doing things that are legal, as you're alluding to, that are legal but also are a little bit crazy, and get new clients.
Right. Why be illegal when you get all this? I always tell people, you got a $40 million career. Why are you gonna risk it for $17,000, you know, or some
right.
amount,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
It's insane. The decisions people make to wreck their careers when they, if they just put their head down and work their ass off, they
yep.
make $40 million.
Yeah. Not too
crazy.
Bad.
No, exactly.
What did you say? Where'd you get the 40? Or where'd you get the 40?
It's a weird thing, but I kind of calculated if you started a career in our business and you worked and you really put it together and you kept work, you didn't stop. So you get to where you are, where you're doing a million, you don't stop, and now you keep going. You know, the last 10 years are your biggest earning years. And just on average, you're going to gross about $40 million.
Okay, all right. That's what I'm talking about right there.
Right.
That's what I want to get into right there. So that I get a kick out of that. So let's talk about the metrics on that next time. Okay. I like that.
Yeah, it's fun. And then you know, it's about $20 million after taxes and expenses, and that's a nice chunk to retire with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and that's what everybody in our business should have, $20 million when they retire. And
perfect.
They don't. Okay. They don't.
Let's make perfect. Let's so how that's gonna take me another ten years you and I work together and I end up with $20 million, $30 million, $40 million, something like that.
Right. And if you invest it properly and you're patient, then that's what it'll be worth, $40 million. Right.
There you go. All right, so time I'm 61 and you're 80? Are you 70 now?
I'm 73. I'd be 83, right?
You're 73. All right. So let's do it.
Yeah. It's a good idea. Fun. And you know what? I set those crazy goals, and almost all of them came due exactly as I planned it, when I planned it.
You probably got over 40 at this point, I bet you. I'm getting personal, sorry.
I've been very blessed, let me put it that way.
That's great. Good for you. Awesome. All right, I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. All right, Howard.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
You too, Rob. Bye-bye.